All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whoa. I hate to break the fishing news up here, M-Chuck, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for, like, an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, your M-Chuck.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Welcome into episode 284 of the Real Life Podcast. Brought to you by our new title sponsor, HGA Group. It's the next generation of business services. And if you go hit up their website, you will quickly see that they literally do it all. And that is a nice tie into the Oilers, because they're going to have to do it all in these next games against the Jets if they want to stay alive. Episode 284, shout out to HGA Group. This is right now my current state. Is the saddest I have ever felt about a team I cheer for. This is the most heartbroken I've been. That was the most soul-crushing loss I've ever had to witness. Keep in mind, I was too young to fully comprehend 06. So yeah, for my generation...
Welcome to being an Oilers fan, my young friend. Welcome. This is where we've been living for God knows how long we've all been fans. This is where we live. No part of me is shocked necessarily. I know exactly how to process these feelings.
It sucks. It just all sucks. That was such a punch right in the fucking gut.
I don't even want to talk about the Oilers, to be honest.
Chalmers? Yeah, me and Bagwell just wanted to talk about everything, but Chalmers, what do you think about everything?
I don't know, man. I just, like, my first comment when I got on here was, what a difference a week makes. We were flying high at the beginning of this week in anticipation of something that we all, to a man, could see. We could feel it. And game one happens. Game two happens. They suck. Game three, there's still this feeling of hope going up. They're going down 3-0, and the difference between being down 2-1 is such a monumental difference.
Yeah.
That game felt so different. Like, it was, and I hate to use this term, but a must-win game. And for the first two periods, we were so happy. We looked at this and we went, this is exactly what we've been waiting for. This is it. And I don't know those feelings. It's hard to put into words the feelings of an utter loss of control in something that you can't do anything about. But sit and witness and try to process the feelings that you're going through. Because I was so high at 4-1. And I don't mean like high from drugs. I mean, I was on such a high at 4-1. And within 30 minutes, I can't even explain to you the mental drain I felt. Your M-Truck's not wrong. I mean, yeah, 06, it sucked. It was a distant past now to where this by far is the worst feeling I've had in a while. It's just, I'm drained. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to go on social media and interact with people. I went into like an avoidance tactic of just like not trying to see or hear anything Oilers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is mm-hmm. a shitty feeling, man. Yeah. As a guy who like 1 week ago put on a cowboy hat and wanted nothing more than to go and record a pregame pod and have a great time and talk Oilers. And I'm just at a loss right now. Like we can sit here and we can blame all these different things. We can blame the misuse of timeouts. We can blame Archibald. We can say, why isn't our stars stepping up? We can do all of that, but I just don't feel like it. You know what I mean?
I'm drained too, like, man. Like, you're right. Like, the high of being up 4-1, and I was sitting there like clapping my hands, like, by Tuesday morning, they're going to have this motherfucker tied up. That's what I was thinking. They're going to win both. It's going to be a turning point. And then just to be at the low, that was that fourth goal going in. Like, never mind the OT winner. That was just, again, a different level. But, like, when they tie the game up, you're just like, holy shit. How did that disappear so fast? It was fucking just...
And to go through it effectively alone, too, is fucked up.
You're just sitting there. Yeah. Weird.
You just stay there by yourself with your own thoughts and the worst of everybody on social media. And you're like, huh, the normal things I would do to like, even though you have no impact on anything, but you're like pregame rituals and like who you talk to. And like, had we yelled shoot, I'm sure they would have shot more. None of it.
I sat and stared at a fire for like an hour and a half after that game blankly, just like deflated. And then went to bed extremely early because I didn't know what else to do. I was looking at social media and I couldn't fucking stand what I was seeing because the outroar and the takes that were being had, I couldn't do it. I couldn't, the fan base was imploding and it's because we got kicked right in the junk and I get it, but like, I couldn't stand what was being said. Your M-Shock, you had a take. I wanted to fucking go crazy.
Why?
I understand. Well, that's, you can't blame the game on Josh Hart.
Would they have, I don't want to like fight today because I have no energy for that, but the only.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
want to. Yep.
Jay has gone full robot mode.
At the same time, I was like,
The way I was looking at that game and the way I'm looking at it now, and this is my take on the Archibald thing. The question, do they win the game if he doesn't do that?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Okay,
so,
okay.
I want to finish my point.
They win the game if Connor doesn't give it up in our own zone?
Okay, let me finish my point then. You can find 9 other dominoes that fell in that hockey game. The turnover, Puljujärvi gets walked at the line. That was a nice move by Morrissey, I guess. Smith lets in a fourth one. The OT goal, not using a timeout, waiting for the TV timeout. You can count 9 dominoes, but they win the game if Archibald doesn't set off the first domino. And Matthew Perreault talked about it too. He said, like, that gave us life. Like, we wanted to make him pay for a dirty hit. So that one play gave the Jets life and triggered everything else. So, listen, it was just a fucked up 10 minutes and eight times out of 10, the Oilers kill off that penalty, no problem. And it's not even a story, but it just pisses me off so much that one, it was idiotic and selfish. And that's what makes me so mad about it.
But it was barely illegal. That's a function of a small guy ducking low against a mountain.
Yeah, taking out his knees.
If that happens in football, that's instantly a penalty.
Okay, can I say
Jay,
one
your
thing
internet is
why,
brutal right now, by the way.
Why?
I'm on internet. I'm just on Wi-Fi. Wow, that was the dumbest take of my life.
Wow, it was all garbled, too.
We don't know what you're saying. Charles, what were you saying?
Okay, here's my thing about the Archibald thing. So, the Cassian we had kind of been waiting for shows up, right? We see Logan Stanley. I believe this all started with Logan Stanley in the first period when he grabbed Puljujärvi around the neck, and Cassian came out and started to, you know, really focus on Stanley, and Stanley was, you know, backing down, like, I don't want this smoke. And Cassian had it under wraps. Cassian was playing one of those games where he's tough, he's all this. So we've already got our retribution back for what Stanley did to Puljujärvi, and Stanley's already kind of playing scared, knowing that Cassian's kind of coming after him. What is the fucking purpose of it? What is the purpose of it? Is my thing. And regardless of what he did, regardless, you know, there was no purpose. There was no upside for it. You know,
there's no point.
That kind of, it bothers me.
The purpose was to hit a guy who had the puck, who is also a guy who's been causing us some annoyances. I get,
you're up 4-1.
But like, I know, don't clip him. But like, it was also not far off from not being clipping either.
I don't know about that.
But it was.
Yeah, it was.
The
Oilers should be like, fuck yeah, Archibald, you got the guy we fucking hate. Let's kill off that penalty and let's fucking close out this game. That's really what it's all about. To hang the whole game on Archibald is not fair.
I don't want it to be like the Steve Bartman moment. The fact is they still could have won that game, and they still could have. But to say it didn't have an effect is wrong.
Now, hold on. Wasn't Bartman the guy?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Baseball?
Bartman was the baseball guy, yeah.
Chalmers wasn't the guy in the stands. You're comparing Archibald to a guy in the stands?
Yes.
I'm saying, yes, I am. I'm saying the scenario is that that was one small piece of a bigger puzzle. The fact is, Jay is right. They could have gotten over the fact that they, you know, they could have killed the penalty off or not, gone down 4-2, and really, like, had a gut check moment time. And they didn't. And they let it get away from them.
They've lost take out the empty netters. They've lost 3 1 goal games. Like, can you imagine if Yamamoto scores on his partial break in OT in game 3? Then this is the hat. We're fired up right now. We're probably all drunk right now if Yamamoto scores.
Yamamoto may never score again.
I think that's what's the most deflating thing about all this is that we could have won all of those games. We aren't getting shit kicked and we're mad at the team. We're like, what the fuck is happening? Because we shouldn't be down 3-0.
Yeah, like that's and that's why I get mad. The takes that piss me off are the fire Tippett, he's an idiot. Yeah. Ken Holland is a moron. Blah 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 blah. To me, those are off base. Like Dave Tippett has this special teams at a point. Like, remember in the Decade of Darkness when we were always dead last in power play and penalty kill? I know the power play is because he has so much talent that he can use, and he basically can kind of let McDavid and Drysdale do their thing. But like the Oilers' special teams is the best I've seen it ever. And they're the best road team in the NHL. This year, they proved they could win low scoring games because Tippett has them playing a good system. And he takes a risk not calling his timeout. And everyone's just, or not everyone, but like there's people who are just down his throat. He's a loser coach. He's never won this. He's never done.
Fuck off.
And it's like, come on. Like, is that really the level of pissing we're doing?
Well, and then the firing up McDavid wants out of Edmonton. And that infuriates me. Yeah. Why are you fucking saying that? If you're a fan of the Oilers, why are you projecting anything?
Toxic people being toxic, bro. Itself.
Can you guys tell me what you think about this this opinion that I have? And that is, I hear a lot, and I'm hearing too much of, why doesn't McDavid step it up in the playoffs? And
oh my lord,
my number one thing would be that guy, you know how there's playoff intensity and there's way guys play in the playoffs. McDavid plays like that every game of the regular season, pretty much, right? And maybe it's just a lot harder for him to find a next gear when he's always in sixth gear. You know what I mean? Like
his top gear is the best gear in the NHL, so there's no other gear to go to. I like that. I get what you're saying.
Sorry, is 3 points last night not good enough for you?
Yeah.
And
weasels.
But okay, great. 3 goals, buddy. Not a single person here has a defense for that dump up the fucking board zero.
I expect Slater Cuckoo to make that play. not yeah. Connor McDavid. He never just volunteers possession to the other team. It was so weird.
I've been struggling with this one for a while here because so like you see, and like my biggest regret was even giving that Sid Sixero tweet any sort of mention. I should have just let it die. And I quote tweeted it and it got people going. And I was like, that's not what we should let those people yell into the emptiness about that kind of shit. Cause it's pointless to even talk about. But to even bring that up at a time when like in this series, there are actually kind of moments you could kind of look at Connor McDavid and go, ooh, didn't have it. You know, didn't score in game one, didn't get a point in game two. They were both one goal games. And then he had the turnover in game three. Like if there's
okay.
time where that argument was even more dumb about like, oh, McDavid's sick of Edmonton. Like it's even stupider right now.
Yeah, that's more
Remchuk, but it's you leave fucking McDavid out of this, you Remchuk.
I know.
I don't see it. When they were scoring their goals and he was getting his points and making great passes, it was great, but there is no explanation for a mistake like that. Everybody in the fucking world knows we couldn't get the puck out at times and it was driving me crazy. And I couldn't understand what the hell these guys forgot from what they were taught in Adam. Get the puck hard off the boards when you're hemmed in. It's not that hard, right? And
all right,
he simply put a muffin up the boards, and that is just inexcusable. It just is, and it's fine. Best player in the world is allowed to make mistakes, but I'm also allowed to say that was a mistake.
So if it's not, I don't think that there's cause to fire the coach. That's outrageous. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of Ken Holland. That's nonsense too. I don't think that it's goaltending. That's not the problem. It's not, in my mind, Connor. It's not Leon. It's not having a bad break, right? I don't think that's what it is. Jay, if you were to say why we are down 3-0, what is the actual problems? Is it like someone they're missing? Is it, I don't think you can hang this type of 3-0 deficit on a single player.
I can tell you what it is in a single sentence. I can tell you what it is. We've played good hockey for maybe a total of 48 minutes out of 180 minutes. That's why it is.
Mental but a lapses. Team, a team cruising through the regular season, whooping ass. What are they? Why are they not able to translate that into these first three games?
Well, it's exposing our. We're not as deep as some of the bigger teams, if you will.
Right.
So that exposes that. Winnipeg did a very good job of smothering Leon and Connor. They did in game one and game two. They're very successful.
Very good. Yeah.
They pointed it out numerous times what Winnipeg was doing to quiet them down. And there is ways to do it, even if it's the best player. If you're going to shadow a guy, like, that's tough to deal with. It doesn't matter who the fuck you are.
Were they playing Connor and Leon less so far than in the regular season? Because it felt like, especially when Connor was on his El Fuego streak, he was on the ice all the time. But you don't really feel like that in the playoffs.
No, he's been playing a lot. 23, 26, and 25, 52. So, he's played a lot. I guess not an insane amount considering two of those games went to OT, but still.
Leon played 28 minutes the last game.
Yeah, he did. He was almost
David
up to 30.
David played 25. Nurse played 31. I think these guys are playing the right amount of minutes.
I'm really interested to see what we get tonight because there's one part of me that's like, what if, like, hopefully they're just not out there discouraged and, like, accepting defeat because, like, you know, you're down 3-0.
I still believe.
Yeah, like I just really, really have that hope because like even though I don't have a lot of belief and I'm kind of down in the dumps, like I still want to see a good hockey game and like you never know.
They're professional athletes. They truly believe. They're men. Like, they believe.
Like the this series could be 2-1 Oilers, 3-0 Oilers just as easily. So I really fucking hope they try to compete because like there's still a chance. There is still a chance.
Yeah, it's not like the Oilers of yore getting swept by infinitely better teams. This is a case where the Oilers could win 4 straight games. Right?
Dave,
like it wouldn't be that outrageous.
But you know what the problem right now is and the way that I'm feeling defeated is a week ago I was looking for, you know, my COVID spring to be taken up by and distracted by some really good playoff hockey. And in 3 games, I hate the fact that the doubt has crept in that we're even going to make it out of the first round. And now we're looking at basically the worst case scenario. So
the doubt has crept in down 3-0. down 3-0, Chalmers, the doubt has crept in. That is faint praise for what is going on right now.
No, the doubt has swamped us. Yeah, that. But what I'm trying to say is if these highly paid professional athlete alpha males don't have hope and faith, that is a huge goddamn problem. These men have to go into this game thinking there is no choice. And that's the thing. We don't have a choice anymore. We have to win. We just have to win. They have to do anything it takes. You know,
It's not cliche. It's a must-win game.
It's hard when the distractions are like, you know, the line changes after game two. I saw it and I went, is this going to make the difference? Is bringing in Devin Shore, I thought, played really well. He was hitting He was hitting guys. He was, you know, he was one of the guys that was getting the pucks out when he had to, you know, and I don't know, man. I don't even know what to think.
I'm so hard. I know. I'm so heartbroken right now, but if they win tonight, I'll probably be right back to being optimistic. Like, I think that's sort of the way it'll go.
The optimism of an Oilers fan down 3-1. Yeah, we got this shit.
Fucking right.
That's our office. 3-1, baby.
Yeah. Anyways, you can't even look at it like coming back from down 3-0. You need to kind of take it a game at a time, you know, brick by brick, dollar by dollar, kind of the way you build up a good savings account. And savings is made easy with our friends at Neo Financial, a better way to spend, save, and get rewarded. Savings accounts at 1.30% interest. For the people here who are good with money, is that's solid? That's like a good number to be at?
Oh, sure. For a savings account? Oh, yeah.
You'll
get that at a bank.
No minimum balance, no monthly or annual fees, and all the perks of an everyday bank account. Head to Neo Financial. Their app looks sweet as well. Super excited to have them on board the pod. Hopefully we don't have off-season episodes of this podcast coming up anytime soon, though, because, yeah, I just – to not even get, like, a full week out of a playoff run would be generally pretty upsetting. So I really hope they win tonight. We can get a little optimism going, and we get a big game on Wednesday. That would be fun if we can at least have some semblance of a series and not have to go the next year hearing everyone say, oh, you got swept by the Jets.
It's just so typical, too, that you go and you look at all, like, the prediction, you know, accounts in hockey and on social media, you know, as far as like even the Spit and Chicklets five guys putting out there. And the only one that they all agreed, well, there was two that they all agreed on, the Colorado one series and the Oilers series. But they had Oilers like pretty much all in five, all in six. There was not many people that were picking the Jets. And so isn't it just so goddamn fitting that we're here right now? Like, I swear to God, we are just tortured, man, tortured.
It's, yeah, like, and our optimism wasn't coming from a place of, like, pure Kool-Aid drinking either. Like you said, Chalmers, a lot of people outside Edmonton had them winning this series easily. They were 7-2 against the Jets. They had dominated Hellebuck. McDavid was on fire, 100 points, all the hype. And, like, it just fell apart so quick. And the 3-1 goal games, right? You could almost say they've lost three coin flips now. So what are the odds of hitting four straight coin flips? That's the math we need to do. Is that like 6% or something? I shouldn't do the math on that. I'm the last one who should be doing the math on that.
I have a hard time agreeing that game three was a coin flip. We were up 4-1 and they took a whole period to just ram their...
Yeah, but a coin flip in the sense that...
No, not even. It was 6 minutes.
Yeah. But
it
like
was 6 minutes of hockey.
They had a chance to win every single game and all they would have needed was a bounce at the right time, right? Like that kind of thing. They're just not getting their bounce. That's playoff hockey. I feel like a lot of the time, and you know, call me out because maybe I wouldn't be saying this if the Oilers were up 3-0 after winning three tight games, but like so much of playoff hockey is luck. Like there's so much luck involved in this sport.
You also
make your luck in this sport too.
In a way, yeah, you do. I agree with that.
We haven't even touched on the fact that we're all probably a little drained too, because if you're anything like I am, after game one, you bet the Oilers heavily. And after game two, when you lost that, you decided to put good money behind bad money and really bet the Oilers heavily. And when you do it because you really just want that extra little bump, so you do it on the puck line, and it's 8 minutes left and it's 4-1, and you're feeling pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
That's why I am very much also deflated.
Oh, yeah.
That stinks, Charles.
I just, to help the Oilers, I am not betting this game tonight.
I respect that play.
What else are you boys going to do differently?
I'm wearing my Leon Draisaitl jersey. I've been wearing Nation gear for all games, so I'm wearing
interesting, jersey. Interesting.
Watching good. On yet another television.
Good.
I'm not watching it.
You're not going to watch it?
You're not going to watch kidding. An Oilers playoff game? What in the...
I'm kidding. Of course I'm going to watch
imagine this, Travis.
I don't know
imagine
what I'm
going to
do differently.
Imagine this. What was the Anaheim series? Six games back in 2017?
It went seven.
So that was it seven? And who won game six?
Edmonton.
We did.
Okay. So you hologram time travel back to yourself, game six, 2017. And you're like, hey, man, the Oilers lose tomorrow. I'd be like, oh, they do? Yeah. Oh, we'll be in the playoffs next year for sure, though. It's like, no. Well, the year after that, though. What if I told you it would be five more years at a minimum till you see another playoff win after tonight? That would be the case, man. Be 2022 till we saw a playoff win if they lose tonight.
Oof.
Devils.
Unless you count the one win against Chicago.
That is a play-in due to a worldwide pandemic.
I guess. Depends how you look at it. Glass
half
full, glass half empty.
We were thrown out of office by some clowns.
Friend of the podcast, Drake, had a good night, though.
He did. They bring the kid out. That was cute.
Billboard, fucking 16 Billboard Awards.
One of the most positive things I've ever seen in my life was Josh T. Park at the end of the post-game show, literally going, you know what, boys, though? I'm excited, eh? Dylan Holloway's on the way up. And Coombe snaps and loses it. And he's like, he could be a middling six winger at best, you idiot. And Josh Park just sort of looked up. It was one of the most positive Oilers Nation moments I've seen live.
Holloway.
End that game pumped about Holloway. Like, what the fuck?
Down three rip, you know?
Yeah. We'll be all right.
Our third Dylan line Holloway's next year could be pretty good.
He could be a new Ryan McLeod.
I don't want to talk off season or like any of that yet.
No,
like we spend way much time doing that shit.
We are still in the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs.
Oilers are in the playoffs.
You got to enjoy tonight for what it is. Fanless playoff game we can't afford to lose on the road. But you might as well enjoy it because it might who the fuck knows how long it'll be.
Yeah.
Until we're back.
Until
right?
we see another playoff game with no fans in the building.
You never know, man. You never know what could happen in life.
I worry that if they bow out here to Winnipeg quickly, that it's going to hang like a dark cloud, though, right? Like, is it going to be, you know how the Leafs get ripped all the time for blowing the lead to Boston? Like, is that going to be us next year? Like, if McDavid goes out and puts up 175 points in 82 games or like some woo! Absurd number, are we all just going to be sitting there and have to deal with, well, wait and see if you can do it in the playoffs, you know, like, going to be the conversation all year next year. It's going to be nauseating.
I can still watch 175 point Connor season and enjoy myself immensely.
It doesn't matter. A lot of our like the way that we feel is based off of, you know, our identity is based off of what people say about our team.
Oh,
and I do not want for Connor to be like to have to deal with that shit. Cause he's so good. He's just such a good person, such a great hockey player. And inevitably if we lose this series, there's absolutely no way that it doesn't become that.
My God. Listen, Chalmers, Dylan Holloway is minutes. He's minutes away. Tops. Dylan Holloway.
Yeah.
Don't be negative.
Can
Feel
he
good,
be in
man.
The lineup tonight?
Oh, he'd be leading the team in points. Ask Josh G. Park.
Classic.
The answer's on the horizon, boys. Don't worry. I'd bet the Oilers win tonight. If you're looking to make your money back, I would bet the Oilers win tonight.
I'm going.
I would agree.
Oilers trivia question.
I do not see Connor McDavid allowing himself to be swept on this earth. And I think tonight a good bet is the Oilers.
Does anyone here off the top of their head remember the last time the Oilers were swept?
Yeah, it was like 91.
No one?
No, I have no idea.
No,
were they swept in the late 90s ever in those Colorado, Detroit, or Dallas years?
In the second round, when we made it to the second round?
It was a first round. Yeah. They were swept in the first round in 1999 by the Dallas Stars.
Yeah. That was the year that the Stars won the Cup and Jason Arnott scored with his foot in the crease. Remember?
You mean Brett Hull?
Yeah.
Brett Hull. Sorry, not Jason Arnott. But Jason Arnott did score the Cup winning goal or something. But no, whatever Hull it was. Yeah. Remember, was it the Iron Horse?
Also, that year, the Oilers, like, they finished four games under 500 that year and still qualified for the playoffs. Those must have been fun times. Anyways, Oilers looking to avoid being swept in a best of seven. I think it would be it's happened three times in their franchise's history. In the Cup final in 83. Then they were swept away by, like I said,
they got swept in the Cup final of 83.
Yeah, and then they came back the next
swept.
Then the next year they beat the Islanders in five games to win the Cup.
And they'd been swept by the Islanders the previous year.
Yeah.
That famous story of Gretzky after they got swept, him walking past the New York Islanders locker room and he thought that they were just going to be cheering and like partying, but they were just like icing their legs and like tending to their wounds. And he was like, oh my God, that's what it takes to win a cup.
Just like I have this pulled up right now. Some of those Stanley Cup years for the Oilers are just hilarious to look at. Like in 84, they only lost four games en route to the Stanley Cup. You go back in 87, they only lost five games. In 88, they lost two games. How does that happen? One against the Jets 4-1, one against the Flames in a sweep, beat the Red Wings 4-1, then swept the Bruins in 88.
Hold on. So they went 4-1. They went 4-1 sweep, 4-1 sweep.
Yeah.
You know what the best part about this is right now? This is exactly how Oilers fans have dealt with this despair for the past 40 years.
Look back at some stats in the 80s. Yeah.
we took less than 35 minutes to resort back to what
to be fair though, your MTrek also goes. To be fair, your MTrek also said if Connor gets 175 points next year, I'm going to have to listen to people complaining on the internet like it's a problem. There is a more modern solution than the 1987 season, but it's still nice to look back and see the wins.
I could not go on the internet for sure. So everyone's thinking of win tonight. It's a quiet pod today, hey? You can tell everyone's a little dejected.
Well, what are we, Oilers fans, down 3-0?
Yeah.
If we were there to yell shoot, I think they would be shooting more, and I think we would have at least one game in the series.
You'd be in Winnipeg? You'd be in Winnipeg yelling
shoot? Of course I would be in Winnipeg. Of course I would.
Or you could be that Bud Light Seltzer guy.
Out of the way. What's that?
There's one. Good.
I was just saying you could be the Bud Light Seltzer guy dressed up, sitting there.
That was pretty funny. I can actually clock the moment I was the happiest this season because I put a meme out to mark the occasion. And it was the Bud Light Seltzer guy, and everybody was laughing at him, and I was laughing at him. And then we were still congratulating Neil Yakupov for getting married. And then Coom put Neil Yakupov and his wife up in the crowd next to the seltzer can. And I hadn't laughed that hard at anything in probably 3 years. And then I put it up and I was like, everything's going to be great. And then they started scoring literally 1 second later.
I'm just glad we only had to wait till one day. I mean, a 2 day wait to see what happened in game four would have just been devastating. I don't want to feel like this any longer.
Let's wake up tomorrow 3-1 and we're on the rebuild.
Yeah.
3-1, like 3-1 sounds like super doable. And then when you hear 3-0, you're like, we're fucked.
The team down 3-0, it sounds amazing. It sounds like we're winning.
Yeah, 3-1, you're like, oh, fuck, basically a coin flip. Pretty much a lock.
They could win four straight games, especially if they were to win by a bunch of goals. Winnipeg is a brittle spirit. Ooh, snap.
I'm worried. I'm worried about Bag Milk. He's just crushing fruit snacks, quiet, head down. I'm worried about
sadly eating my fruit snacks. It's just,
I'm driving past Rogers Place right now.
Honk at them for good luck, even though they're in Winnipeg.
I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah, honk at those guys.
What was the last 16 hours been like, Bag Milk?
Just this. Just
eating gummies?
Having to fucking listen to people be like the beat cast last night was basically a therapy session. And then I had to write the GDB today, which was basically the saddest article on our fucking website.
Oh, for the love of God.
And then now we're just sitting here wanking on about how this sucks. So yeah, I'm just going to sadly eat my fruit snacks and sit quietly.
One thing that often cheers people up is internet retail therapy, where you go online and buy a bunch of cool shit. And if you're looking to do that, you can go hit up our friends at Twig and Berries, and you can look good. You can take this pain and you can look good after. Turn it into a positive. Free shipping on orders over $75 within Canada, whether you need underwear, a nice shirt, a comfy hoodie, or a pair of sweats, whatever, whatever. Head to Twig and Berries, promo code Nation15 gets you 15% off. So now that we've, you know, trudged our way through the doom and gloom that we felt like we had to, anything else anyone wants to talk about? Lefty, Phil Mickelson.
Superbad still holds up.
Yeah.
Superbad still holds up. I watched it last night to cheer myself up, and still great. Still great.
I watched Wolf of Wall Street this weekend. I had seen it once before, it'd been a few years. And I came away not really enjoying the movie. It was just kind of weird. So that's my movie take.
I love that movie.
Because you're upset about the Oilers.
Yep.
Probably. I sat up straight in bed last night and drank three beers just sitting in bed staring at the TV.
Before we go, can we just have a moment of some happiness here for a moment? Happy was everybody when Leon was scoring? When he scored his second goal, I'll tell you what. That was a good cheer. It was a good cheer. I was like, he's going to get a hat trick for sure and shit tonight.
When Cassian scored that goal to go up 3-1, I was texting with a family member, and they were like, that's series changing. That's the series. They were about to let it slip, and Cassian, of all people, righted the ship. He turned it right around. Yeah. Like, it felt like, yes, that's what we needed. Cass is back.
There was that minute where we were all having so much fun making memes and tweeting about the Bud Light Seltzer guy.
Yeah, man. Like, the Yakupov meme. That's funny.
That was a little pocket of happiness that we all got to share for a moment, you know?
Yeah.
It all got ripped away.
I'm happy we got it. If they go out tonight and pump Winnipeg 5-1, don't kid yourself. I'll be celebrating because it's a playoff win. And those things don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
You're Remchuk. Well, Connor gets 175
points. We win tonight, and then the boys just go into full business mode. It's time. It's business mode time.
Tonight's long shot night. Coombs said, he's like, it's actually very soothing to be down 3-0. I'm like, what do you mean soothing? He's like, there's no pressure. He's like, you just come to the arena as oily as can be.
I guess.
No pressure.
It's twisted, but it's like in a way funny. When we returned for the summer bubble after all that hype, we got exactly one episode of Oilers Nation Radio to like talk about it. And now this time around, we were getting all fired up. We're like, we're going to do two episodes a week.
Yeah, right now.
Tuesday. And we're still, even though we upped it to 2 weeks, we're still only going to get one because the series didn't last a week.
Oh, hey. That's an absolute statement. We're not ready.
I know. I'm all over the map today, if you couldn't tell. I did the show with Low Tide today, and there were like four times where I just zoned out, and Low Tide did like, you gonna answer the question? And I was like, honestly, I didn't hear it. I was just thinking about how sad I am, and he had to like repeat what he was asking me.
It's just like, how many people around the city had the 1,000-yard stare last night where they're just like, they were in the room, but they weren't in the room, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There was
highs and lows. That game felt like it was 4 hours long.
Yeah.
There was I think the tweet that I saw that encapsulated the moment was just kind of, it was Bruce, our friend of the nation, Bruce. He tweeted out him sadly drinking a beer around a campfire while listening to Coldplay. And that just really spoke to me, you know?
And his buddy like half-heartedly chopping wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that's the way it was. That's the way it was.
Well, we need to conjure. We have to park this melancholy. Find what energy we've got buried in our tank somewhere.
That's what's so fucked up about
go Oilers.
How do you come together? Like, if I could just as easily sit down at an Applebee's, order seven pitchers of Bud Light, and do my bit, I would.
An Applebee's,
hammered as can be, wherever need be, right? But like, stay home and pressing your thumbs as hard as you can on your phone. Like, fuck. At least they're not wasting a cup run on years where there's no fans. Say what you want.
It's like Wanya said, it was an interesting thing to have it happen completely by yourself, if that was the case also, right?
Super like weird. Last night,
when they lost, when overtime, I didn't want to see any post-game stuff. I just sat there, I shut off the TV, and I just stared. And the other thing too is animals are also funny. My dog Frank didn't want to be anywhere near me last night. I would like go into a room and he would just leave. He's just like, I don't want any of this energy.
won't make eye contact.
Unbelievable.
I think this is funny that this is the one game I don't want to be with anybody tonight. Like, I just want to be by myself and witness the emotions I go, unless we go up 4-1 again, and then I'll be like, everybody come hang with me and my family, come sit.
No one makes eye contact.
I want. I honestly don't know what I want, to be honest.
A win.
Dollars, I want you to come meet us at 3 o'clock for the pregame show.
What? That's in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Come on, Cowboy Chris.
Let's go.
Playoff games don't grow on trees.
Exactly.
Is Cowboy Chris the rallying call this Oilers team needs?
We thought it was a rally can.
Him down.
We thought it was a rally can
for the last two games.
Yeah. It wasn't the rally can.
I'm going to suck back a million beers tonight and just stare.
Like this.
Come on, Chalmers. Let's go.
I would literally have to leave this job site right now.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs, baby.
Perfect. So leave the job site right now. Come meet Josh Park and I. And let's try to figure our way through this.
We to wrap things up here, last ad read, manscaped.com. We're almost getting to summer. You want to keep it nice and clean. You don't want to be a sweaty, hairy mess below the belt or anywhere. I know.
Well,
I
I'm depressed right now, so I'm gonna let it flow for a bit, and then I'm gonna get Manscaped on the case.
The lawnmower 4.0. I know that my
maybe you can set it at 10% like this.
I know just my lawnmower noises have been popular, but I don't have the energy to do one. So I will just tell you that the Lawnmower 4.0 is a very sleek looking product. There's even a little travel switch on it as well. There's a lot of new features on this bad boy that are worth your time. Check it out, manscaped.com. Promo code REALLIFE gets you 20% off and free shipping. All right. Let's hope they fucking win tonight.
I'm just going to trim one bean. That's it.
Yeah. I have to stop the middle of this road while these two geese take their sweet ass time to cross the road.
Are they cute?
I'm a geese supporter. This one is now just staying on the road. Okay. They don't really care.
Geese are dicks.
Maybe he's an Oilers fan.
No, but that's it. So they don't care about me. That's the attitude the Oilers need to take about the Jets. Fuck the Jets. We don't care when we're going to throttle them tonight. Channel your inner goose.
Did anyone see the meme I put on the Real Life Instagram where it's McDavid and Smith, their faces photoshopped onto the Connect Four game, and it says the classic win four in a row game, Connect Four. Oilers got to win four in a row.
Oh, shit. Connect Four.
Connect Four.
That's 21. That might be the meme that makes it happen.
Connect Four.
Connect Four. They do it? It starts tonight.
Four wins in a row. No problem.
Fuck. Oilers can win four games in a row in their
sweep. Easy.
They did it twice this year.
And the crap Jets, who've lost three seasons worth of wins. Yeah, they have.
Oh yeah. So why not? Why not? Why
Jets
not?
Are
fuck
feeling
it. Let's
pretty comfortable right now.
Let's end
for
it on
sure
some
shit. For sure shit. And Connor has no goals yet. He can have three games worth of goals in the first period of the fourth game.
Speaking of no goals yet, like, I don't know what we need to do to get Kaylor Yamamoto a goal, but the guy he's got snake bite, the likes of which I haven't seen in a long time. Like, how many clean looks in this series has he had to get something done?
Yeah.
Like last night in OT, I screamed. I was ready to flip my couch when he had that, like, walk in alone and then nothing.
Nothing. He needs to get something going. If you would have told me a week ago that the Oilers would be down 3-0 to the Jets, I wouldn't have believed you. I said that is not realistic. There's no way that happens. So maybe a week from now, we're talking about Kaylor Yamamoto having like 5 goals in 3 games, and the Oilers have climbed back to force a game 7.
There you go, your M Chuck.
Maybe.
When would game 7 be?
Sunday.
Okay.
So we'd have an episode Thursday after they potentially force a 6th game. That would be the situation. So
the next week would be buzzing.
Maybe
the next week would be buzzing.
Why not? Ending on optimism. This has been episode 284,
baby,
of the Real Life Podcast. Shout out to our friends, the HGA Group, Edmonton-based professional services company with the ambitious goal of changing how business relationships look and feel. Check them out, HGA Group. boys, you enjoy this playoff game, and you enjoy that playoff game that's coming on Wednesday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. This episode
of the pregame show.
Episode 284 of the podcast is over.
Great job on making it through the entire hour of the Real Life Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.